God is good. And when we give God our time, he changes our eternity. Someone said amen. I just want to speak to you for a little while out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 15 through 16. My companion text today is Esther 4 through 14. Coming off that kind of preaching that we've had, I just feel so nourished from North American Youth Congress. But I want you to know that if you're here today, you're doing the right thing. If you're giving your time to the Word of God and to prayer and to lifting up Jesus, you're doing the right thing. Can I get an amen, somebody? See then that ye walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Everybody say, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. You know the story of Esther, that they were going to be executed, the Jewish people. Esther was in a position of influence, and God called upon her influence to save God's people. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time? Everybody say time. As this. In other words, what was being said to her was that there's destruction in the future unless you rise up and give voice to deliverance. And God was saying to her in Scripture and passing it to us through the book of Esther that there are moments where we must rise up and speak up to change the world. Amen? And what if you were put where you are put right now to be the person that makes a difference for such a time as this right now? I want to speak to you for a little while about give God time. Give God time. And later we're going to add on give God your time. There is topics that every pastor has to handle in the course of a year, and he has to hit them every single year. And this is one of those topics, but I don't feel like this is just routine for me. I feel like God wants to speak to somebody through this. I feel like the Lord has anointed this and wants to help somebody give their time back to God and reprogram and reorganize their life. Jesus, would you help us today? I'm calling out anybody who has got too busy, anybody that has a schedule that's overrun them, anybody has seen days where they don't know how to continue living, Lord Jesus, with strength and with power from you. I'm praying right now that you help somebody surrender afresh and anew their time to you, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. You know, I'm preaching more than I'm able to do, and that's almost always the case, where we strive for things that we're working toward by the help of the Lord, and God gives us strength. But I want you to know that your time is so valuable that it determines the things that you love. It determines the things that you change. It determines where you go in life and what you do. If you give God time, I've already said it, eternity can change. If we invest in now, we trust him now, he is responsible to take care of the returns. Amen? And so the scripture tells us that we need to redeem the times that we are in. This phrase is found in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, redeeming the times. How many are glad we have a redeemer? How many are glad we know that Jesus is our Redeemer? He brought us out of our sin and our shame and set our feet on the rock of Christ Jesus. And we now have a different foundation. We've been redeemed. And that phrase is used, and it conveys an idea of making the most of every opportunity, sure. But it also talks about that God can do something with your time that you cannot do with your careful planning. That when we surrender ourselves to the Lord, we have to surrender everything to Him, including our time. And when we give our time to Him, He is a multiplier. Somebody said amen. He makes things grow. He makes things enlarge because He's a large God. And whenever you hand things to Him, He will multiply it. And so we have to learn to trust the multiplication of God in our time. Now, that doesn't mean we're not careful. That doesn't mean we don't plan. In fact, we must be stewards according to the Word of God with our time. The phrase appears obviously in two key scriptural passages, and they are purposed and implied value given to where you place your time. That your time is needing to be done, and you use your time purposely and meaningfully. In Ephesians 5, we're talking about that we are to walk circumspectly or walk carefully, not as fools do, that don't plan their way or plot their course or manage their time, but we need to be wise people of God, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It reminds me of the fact that whenever we have things we cannot control, God is able to step in when we surrender it to Him, and He can redeem what's there, and it conveys the idea of greater purpose when we release ourselves to God. Colossians 4 and 5 says that we are to, I'm sorry, Ephesians 5, we're still in that passage text. Paul encourages believers in Ephesus to live wisely and thoughtfully. He urges them to make the most of their time because the surrounding culture is morally and spiritually challenging. How many know that's today? The culture around us is morally and spiritually challenging. The call is to prioritize spiritual growth in our life, to take our time and to give it to God. Now, this is most important to us that know Him and have walked with Him and have seen Him work in our days. But if you've never seen or trusted God enough to watch Him take your time and use it for good, more than you could ever have done with it, when you prioritize God in your life, it gives you a spiritual growth, and it maintains a vigilance, and it gives you in the presence of God, it gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. And also it gives you courage to walk with God. Today, as we're walking back and forth and we're praising and lifting God up, I feel so much courage in my heart. Why? Because I've spent time with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you feel overwhelmed, downtrodden, and beat down, you just need some time with God. Someone said amen. You just need some time with God, because that will in fact reflect not only the values of your life, but it will change the trajectory of your courage and your ability to step out in moments of boldness where it's needed. There's external pressures on our life. Yes, there is. But there's an internal power that's greater than the external pressure. There is an internal power that's greater than your external pressures. You will not implode, no matter how great the environment pressures are around you, if you stay in lockstep with Almighty God. If you give Him your time. I don't know if it's 5 minutes. I don't know if it's 15 minutes. I don't know if you spend an hour every day. I pray to God you do. But the longer you spend time in God's presence, the deeper you can handle the pressures of this life. The valley is not a place to break you. It is a place for you to spend time in God's presence. When you get low, get into His presence. When you get down, get into His presence. When you need God, just give Him some of your time. And it'll change everything. Colossians 4 and 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, meaning those that are not with the knowledge of God, redeeming the time. In other words, there is something we can do that's called wisdom. When we walk with God, and God not only uses that to call us walking with wisdom. But he says, when we walk and we use and we live in a marketplace or a committee or community where we can shine the light of God, we're able to redeem the time. And the meaning is to be in the marketplace, to attend it, to do business there, to buy or sell, or idle people, around idle people. It says, when you're walking with wisdom to those that are in business but don't know God, or those that are buying and selling in a marketplace but don't know God, those that are in politics or in political realms but don't know God, and even around idle people, even around people that are not doing anything with their life, he said, I am able, if you will walk with me, to redeem the time in their life that they've lost. The time that was taken by different things. Time that was stolen from different choices. Time that was robbed of them from others' choices. I am able, God said, if you walk with wisdom toward those that do not know me, I am able to redeem the time that they've lost in their life if they find me because of your witness. Somebody help me preach today. And so we can understand that we are supposed to manage our time. Ephesians tells us to be careful. That verse that I talked about just now obviously teaches us that we're responsible for what we do with our time. Daniel Martell's book, Buy Back Your Time, Get Unstuck and Reclaim Your Freedom and Build Your Empire, gives us an understanding of what the world thinks of when they think of time management, when they think of giving their time to something. They are careful with core concepts. They're careful with what they give their time to. Time value principles are very important when you start managing your time. You're encouraged in so many areas of self-help, not in scripture, but in self-help. It can be the same in both places, but you're encouraged to understand the value of your time and to prioritize high-value tasks, recommending you outsource low-value tasks so that they're not time-consuming activities. It teaches you to be strategic about delegating things, stresses that are important to building your life, your team, your network, wherever you apply this particular set of understanding. Those things that are stresses can be delegated that enable you to focus on the most valuable things in your life. Embrace technology to use time management. Most of us have calendars on our phones or have something that we use to help us to process and save time and increase efficiency. Lifestyle design or lifestyle choices are very important to highlight what you're doing with your time. Life can incorporate flexibility and freedom. Sure it can. But what you do with your time is important in order to give you that flexibility and that freedom, allowing you to focus, obviously, on personal and professional goals at times. That matters most to people that haven't read necessarily the scriptures and understand that when we give God everything first, he takes care of everything that comes out. When we give God everything first, he takes care of everything that comes after. It is a mind shift that takes you from worldly time principles into God's time economy. That there's no place in God where the canker worm or the palmer worm or any other thing can destroy your past, because nothing that's listed in scripture can eat your root system. When you're in Christ Jesus, He is your root. He is the offspring of David, the root and offspring of David. So we know when we step into God's economy and we start looking at our time, we have to understand that no matter what comes and what goes, what stays and what leaves, it cannot cut down the root system that we built in our life. And so your fruits are not just for you. Your fruits are a testament to the root system that you are plugged into. If you've got $1 million because you learned how to manage your finances well and how to be a good steward, thank God you know how to steward your time. But if you plugged into Christ Jesus, if you're in the kingdom of God, you can still use those principles. Yes, you can. But over here, there's a different philosophy. There's a different power because God is your root and God is your recovery and God is your rescue. I thank God that I have successful habits. I thank God for that. But I know that he is the one that has made me what I am, not myself. And everything in the world leads to managing, to being good, and boasting up your ego. Over here, it's God did it. I have been helped by God. He's my strength and my hope and my help. Everything that God's done for me on his timing is what he chose for me. And if he does it on his timing, nobody can take it from me. If the world gives it to you, the world can take it away. But if God... I'll preach for myself, I guess. If God gives it to you, the world can't take it away. And that's why nothing that's done outside of Christ will last. Only what's done for the Lord will last, brothers and sisters. If you give him your time, I'm not just trying to give you a cute sermon. I'm trying to tell you, when you give God your time, you're letting him change eternity. And when he props something up in your life, when he puts a blessing in your life, nobody can take it out of your life because he put it there. I don't care what life integrations you've done. I don't care what long-term vision you have. I thank God for all of that planning. And I appreciate the strong minds that are in the room. But there are some things that you have to learn how to walk through just giving God time to do. Just give him some time to work. The teenagers say, let him cook. Just let God cook. It's working. He's working for your good. It's going to come to good. Overall, redeeming the time implies an intentional, proactive approach to giving your life to God so that he might work in your midst. It encourages mindfulness, yes, but it encourages being walking in the Spirit. Amen, somebody. Amen. Redeeming there is exegorezo. It's a word that means to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. Can I say that again? The word redeeming the time, the word redeeming is exegorezo, which means to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. So that zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make time our own. In other words, you can turn things around by using your faith and your dedication to time with God to purchase back through him what has been lost. So I'm not preaching just give God time. I want you to do that. Yes, I do. He'll turn it around every single time. Some of you may need to do that. Just give God some time and let him reroute what's gone wrong in your life. You may be dealing with some consequences. You may be watching online and be stuck in a situation that you can't get out of, because wherever you put your time eventually leads to whatever comes down the road. And if you have choices that have created consequences, I'm praying that God redeems the time in your life today in Jesus' name. And so that you set yourself aside so that God can reroute you and let him do his work in your life. God rerouted Esther so that she could save a nation. Can you imagine sleeping at night knowing that the gallows that you're hearing built was meant to hang you and your people? Can you imagine the horror of living through a situation where Haman gets upset because Mordecai won't bow? Haman is an official in the king's
in the king's entourage, and when he goes by at the gate, Haman wants everyone to bow to him and show obeisance. He's a very important person. And Mordecai does not bow. And so his hatred and seething sets about a structure and a opportunity for the people of God to have an enemy that wants to destroy them. And so Haman decides he's going to convince the king that they need to destroy the Jews. And so, of course, Esther is Queen Esther. She has taken over in the place of Vashti. Vashti would not come out when the king had a banquet. He said, come out and show your beauty. And she said, nah, I don't think so. And so he said, fine, I'll put her away and I'll get another queen. And there was Esther, beautiful Esther. She was favored by God, and God brought her into the king's palace. And now Esther is being told, you have one job to do. If you do any job, you have this one job to do, and that is you need to get favor and get before the king somehow. But you can't just go before the king in the Persian Empire. You had to be summoned to come before the king. And so Esther fasted for 3 days, and she was told, you've got to go in, and you've got to get the king to release us from this charge, this thing that's going to be killed, this document, but you know what I mean. He's saying, you got to go in and you have to speak before the king and tell the king that you are Jewish, and that if he does what Haman wants done, he will have to kill you as well, his queen. And so she fasts for 3 days, and she goes before the king, and the king extends his scepter of mercy, and he says, what do you desire? What do you want? And Esther does not say at the time, I want you to understand what's going on in your kingdom, that Haman hates Mordecai, and Mordecai is my family, and I'm a Jewish woman, and you're going to wipe us out with this decree that you have made. And she doesn't say that. She says, King, I want to entreat you to come to some banquets. And so she has multiple banquets, and at those banquets, finally at the latter banquet, she tells the king what is going on, and the king is enraged and puts Haman on the gallows that he intended for the Jewish people, because whatever God does in your life, he will take care of things that were attacking you. Somebody said amen. Amen. And so it is that you cannot manage what the king would do, but God could manage it. She could not change the outcomes without God's help. And so Mordecai said, maybe you are put here for such a time as this. Maybe you've been set here not just to take in air, not just to manage databases and manage bank accounts and get through life and hopefully have a college fund for your kids, but you are put here to do something different with your life through God's help. Amen, somebody. And so when we give our time to things, it produces freedom through God. When you give your time to managing your finances, it produces freedom later in life. When you give your time to managing relationships, it gives you freedom in that relationship. Because as you walk through the hard conversations, you learn together how to manage hard conversations and emotions to where you set those aside for the betterment of the future of the relationship. Everything we do where we discipline ourselves brings future freedom. Understand that the Bible doesn't call us just to dance, shout, and jerk about. The Bible calls us to become disciples of Christ Jesus. And you cannot be a disciple without discipline. And the discipline of spiritual discipline allows you to be in the Word and give your time to God. And it creates future freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and pray right now that God would help you to discipline your life as a disciple of Jesus Christ for future freedom for you and your family? Would you just lift your hands all over this room and pray that God helps you and God helps us? Lord Jesus, give us the understanding that we must be disciples, disciplined in our time, in our disciples are disciplined. Some people, I was preaching about rest last week, well rested, all of that. Some people can't rest in their life because they haven't disciplined themselves in areas of their life. Some people cannot get a true Sabbath where they can sit down and rest because their mind won't shut off because they didn't invest themselves in the time that they were supposed to invest themselves. So if you're young in this room, the Bible says you should invest yourself in hard work. If you are old in this room, the Bible says you should invest yourself in mentoring. There are places that you invest yourself in certain seasons of your life. And if you are living in a season that needs help and strength, you need to get with the community of God and find somebody who's living a season that's ahead of your season because they can help you with what's going on. You don't go to somebody for financial help if they haven't had a good financial season. It's just a fact. If you're looking for someone to help your relationship with your spouse, you need to get someone who's 50 or 60 years old and is married and still smiling. Come on, somebody. You guys are way too stiff today. You need to find somebody that's a season ahead of you in time and have them help you with what you're dealing with right now. So when you deal with time management or discipline, you need to find somebody that you can trust that's already done it ahead of you and been successful at it. You don't go to somebody who's not been successful. You don't take your advice from those people. Why would you take your criticism from them? Do not take criticism from people that don't manage their seasons well. Continue to walk with God and find a way in order to move forward using management of your time, being in God's presence, and finding somebody in community that's already won in their prayer life, in their marriage, in their finances. Find them and say, "Would you help me?" A mentoring relationship is not started by the mentor. A mentoring relationship is started by the person who desires mentorship. Yes. You need to find somebody and say, "Would you be willing to meet with me? I don't care if it's 2 times a month. Would you meet with me and would you help me? And I want to be able to trust you to share information with you about my life that you then will keep between us. And if I can trust you, if you are willing, you can mentor me into a better place. Either you're coming out of something to get better with the mentorship or you're already in a good position and you want to go to greater." God is one that wants to help us through our brothers and sisters. And if you will give your time to God, He will ask you to give your time to somebody else. And by giving your time to somebody else, you might help them get unstuck. Amen, somebody. So we have to prioritize a few things. We have to get unstuck in our life. I might have made too many notes here. Number one, the scripture tells us, obviously, in Ecclesiastes that there's a time for everything under the heavens. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to destroy, a time to rebuild, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance. There's all these different statements in the scripture of these are specific times and they will affect your life. We have to be vigilant about what we do. We have to be wise with our time. time to scatter stones, a time to gather, a time to hug, a time to refrain from hugging, a time to find. Some of these I've reworded because I use this in Scripture for sermons at funerals. A time to find, a time to lose, a time for keeping, a time for throwing away, a time to tear, a time to repair, a time to be quiet, a time to speak up, a time for loving, a time for hating, a time for war, a time for peace. What does verse 9, what does one really get? This is going to be different. A time of love, a time of peace. Verse 9 says in the Scriptures that what does one really get from hard work? What does one really get from hard work? Now, this isn't just a standard question. This is the wisest man known on the earth asking this question. He is asking the question, what does one really get from hard work? I have thought about this in connection with all various kinds of work God has given to mankind. Everything is appropriate in its own time. Everything is appropriate. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherewith he laboreth? What do you get from working? Everything is appropriate in its own time. But though God has planted eternity in the hearts of men, there it is. God has planted something bigger than your life, bigger than your entire lifespan in your heart. God has planted eternity in the hearts of men. Even so, many cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. You just got to give him time to get done what he's doing. That's what I'm trying to say today. And some people are stuck in places where they need to prioritize. Can you give me about 10 more minutes? Is that okay? 10 more minutes? Some people are stuck. I have a time piece with me here. It's pretty cool. So I've been preaching about 35, 36 minutes right now because I've already run through this once. But this represents your future. Time is the only currency that we spend without knowing our balance. We don't know how long we're going to be here. None of us do. We don't know tomorrow. So we have a future and we have a past, and this little trickle between is representing now, the present moment. This is a visual representation of your life. You have something in your future, you have things in your past, and you only have now to deal with it, right now. And so as we represent the now, you see that, yeah, there's something there. You see that this little trickle right here is representing today and is running by. We're not going to get this morning back after it's gone. You're not going to get some relationships back after they're gone. There's just things that run through your life that you cannot get back, but they're down here. But some people are living their life, spending all of this that's running through their life, bitter about what's down here that's happened in their life. Stuff that's in their past. They're spending all their time thinking about it, arguing over it, spending time fussing about it, burning up precious future over past things. This is not easy. I get that. But let me deal with it because I felt like the Lord wanted me to. We have to, in our time prioritization, we have to prioritize forgiveness. Forgiving things in the past will allow you to use your future for what God wanted it to be used for instead of just running it through your life bitter about what's happened in the past. You do not get released to have the future God wants for you if you're upset and haven't forgiven things that are in your past. Do you see what I'm saying? You're going to use all of that, so you have to forgive. And you have to understand that the sands of time are going to keep moving. Either you're going to let it go and live what's coming, or you're going to stay stuck and live in the past. And so I'm asking you today to forgive four people. When we get done, we're going to have an altar call, and you can come and pray and ask God to help you forgive any of these four people in your life that you have been stuck in the past with. Whatever they've done to you, whatever they've said to you, whatever has happened, it's in the past, brothers and sisters, and we're going to lay it down here today. And so, don't waste sand of your life on certain people. There are four people you have to forgive. This is why forgiveness is so important, because it releases you to God's future. Number one person you have to forgive is your parents. You have got to forgive your parents, living or gone. You've got to forgive them. Whether they did their best or they fell short, you've got to forgive them. Everybody say forgive.
Forgive.
They gave you life. Thank God for life. Anybody thankful for life? They gave you life. Holding on to what they couldn't give you will only keep you stuck in the past, running out precious days because you haven't let go of what they didn't give you. Somebody hear me today. Thank them for what they could offer and let the rest go. Somebody say amen. That's one person you've got to forgive to get God's future lined up for you. The second person you have to forgive is people you once loved. People you once loved, the ones who didn't stay, the ones who couldn't meet you where you are or where you were, the ones that have gone out of your life that you wished would have stayed. Wish them peace, wish them blessing, wish them health, and move on. Yes. Amen, somebody. Stop reopening the door that life already closed and that God already closed in some cases. Everyone else, number three, everyone else who hurt you. Everyone else, turn to your neighbor and say, forgive them. Everyone else who hurt you, friends in the past, strangers in the past, loved ones in the past, friends, basically, people who let you down. Hello, somebody. We're human. We let people down, not intentionally, but we do. We let people down. You don't need an apology from them. Hello, somebody. You don't need an apology from them. They may give it, they may not. But you don't need an apology from them. You need your peace. It's more important that you surrender that thing to Jesus. Amen, somebody. Amen. Wipe the slate clean today so that your future doesn't trickle into your past and you have nothing to show for it. You have no effect, no impact when you live in your past. You have to learn from your past. You don't live there. Amen, somebody. You learn from your past. The Old Testament was given as an example to the New Testament. We learn from the Old Testament who Jesus was and that he was the one who holds it all together. Amen. So we know our past are where lessons are learned. But you've got to let it go. Give them a clean slate. Not just for them, but because Jesus gave you a clean slate and he forgave you. Amen. Everybody say number four.
Number four.
This is the hardest one. You've got to forgive your parents. Everybody say parents.
Parents.
You have to forgive the people that once loved you. Everybody say the people that once loved you. You have to forgive everyone else who hurt you. Everybody say everyone else who hurt you. And the last one, the hardest one. You have to forgive yourself.
Amen.
You have to forgive yourself. Because the version of you that made those mistakes is under the blood. The version of you that made those mistakes has been washed by the blood of Jesus and set free from the sin and shame of those past mistakes, and you are not meant to live where you once were when God has washed you. You weren't. You weren't designed for it. You weren't made to carry the burden of shame. You weren't made to carry the burden of loss. You weren't made to carry the burden of what you mistaked and what you did wrong. You carry those things without the strength to carry them because they were never meant to be laid on you. The version of you that made mistakes, you have to forgive. that didn't know better, you have to forgive. You can't carry the past forever. This is why you must forgive, because the past is too heavy to carry into your future. The past is too heavy to carry into your future. This is now, right here. This is now. There's only a little bit. I don't know if you can see. There's only a little bit of future left in that. Just a little bit of future left. It's almost gone. But this is now. We're in the last days, brothers and sisters. I believe that God is coming back. I don't know if it's at noon. I don't know if it's tomorrow, next month, or we're going to live out, and some of us are going to go in the grave and meet him in the sky. I don't know. But I tell you this, I'm not wasting another moment of now on what used to be. I'm not wasting another moment of now. I'm going to give God my time and see what he wants to do in my future. Because when I give God my time, it may seem like it's run out. But when you give God time, he will redeem it. Brothers and sisters, he'll turn it over and he'll give you more time. He'll give you the ability that may not be more days in your days, but brothers and sisters, he will make it look like as if the time you have in your future is more than it actually is on a calendar. In other words, he'll give you better efficiency, more impact, more time to do what God wants you to do, because he will use it for his good. Where the king, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:2-6, where the word of the king is, there is power. Everybody say power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Who can say, I question the king? Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Give God your time, and he will multiply it. Prioritize seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm calling on somebody today who's gotten too busy. I know what it's like. I'm speaking of a place of repentance and forgiveness for my own self. I have watched God use the times when I got too busy and gave it back to him. I don't know if I can wrap this sermon up with enough understanding transfer from me to you to help you understand that there are things that God has done with the past where I was busy, where I thought I was doing my best, but God instructed me and enlightened me and helped me to do better in my relationships and better in certain things. And I ended up walking through my future, watching God redeem the past, watching God turn it around, watching God do things I couldn't even understand. Right now, that's happening to me right this moment. I'm having people that I'm ministering to that I shouldn't even be ministering to. I can't even say it because the cameras are on, but I'll say it this way. I'm too white to be ministering in the hood, but I'm ministering in the hood right now. I'm burying their loved ones. They've been shot, but they're coming up to me, and they're like, hey, can we step in this back room? And we step in this back room, and they say, would you anoint me with oil? It's happening. I'm winning people, and they're lifting their hand. This 2 weeks ago, I can't say her name, but she lost her daughter, and she came in, and she was going to pick up all the stuff, and I was having stuff there for her, and she said, would you pray for me? And I said, have you ever been anointed with oil? And she said, no, I haven't. I said, well, we're going to pray for you. And right there at work, right there, she lifted her hands and I anointed her head with oil and I began to pray over her. This isn't the same story I shared last week. This is altogether different. And I'm reaching into places I didn't even think I could reach into. My past is being redeemed by Almighty God. And now they call me Jay Beats because they found out that I play the drums. They're calling me Jay Beats. That's what they call me. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't have the street smarts to keep up with them. They say stuff I don't even understand, but I'm praying for them, and I'm watching God move in their lives, and they're putting down their guns, and they're putting down their drugs, and they're saying, I want out of this murder culture. I want out of this mess. I'm tired of losing my brothers to the streets. I'm tired of losing my babies to the streets. It's happening, not because I knew what to do, but because when I gave it to God, he's redeeming it. He's turning it around. He's him time. Give him your time. Give him your time. It'll change everything. It'll change everything. They're asking me for scriptures. They're asking me for ways of thinking that I didn't even think they understood. It's all happening because God knows how to do it. Prioritize putting him first and he will do it is what I'm saying. Prioritize your spiritual life, your relationship with God, the kingdom first, and God will do it. What do you do with your time? Would you stand with me? Some people have come to me and thought it's the end. They were living out their future, dumping into their past because they haven't forgiven somebody. They haven't let go. And today, if you'll come to this altar, today, if you'll pray where you are with me, God's going to flip the timing. And he's going to start redeeming everything that you've been through. Would you lift your hands all over this room? Would you begin to just ask the Lord, Lord, help me to redeem the time. Help me to be a steward of time and place, of time and judgment. Help me, Lord Jesus. I don't know who needs to come to this altar today, but the altar's already open. If you're feeling the tug of heart of your heartstrings, you're feeling God saying, you know who that person is. You know who you've kept a grudge. You've been living your now in yesterday. There's somebody you need to forgive. You need to lay it down. It's not for them. It's for you. It's because of me, because I forgave you, that you should lay it down. All over this room, I want you to begin to pray. Just close your eyes and begin to pray. And I want you to say these words. Are you ready? Repeat after me. Lord, I'm sorry for letting my future be dictated by my past. Be my redeemer. I give you my time. I forgive anyone that I need to forgive. You can name them if you want to. Please help me to forgive them. Say that. Please help me to forgive them. Lord, would you flip the hourglass for me? And would you redeem the time? However you want to do it, I surrender to you. Say that. I surrender it to you. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. Now I want you to pray as long as you need to pray to be released from whatever was in your past. I want you to pray however long you need to pray to let go of whatever you felt your parents didn't give you. I want you to pray however long you need to pray for the loss of love in your life, whether it was parents that didn't know how to give it, whether they fell short, or whether it was someone that walked out on you that didn't believe in you. Jesus is still here and he believes in you. And we believe in you. And I believe in you. And today we're flipping the hourglass. Today we're flipping the hourglass so that God can redeem the time. Help us, Lord, to give us a new start, a new beginning. Come on, somebody, wipe the slate clean. Say, God, forgive me. Maybe you're struggling with forgiving yourself. Forgive yourself right now in the name of Jesus. You're not bigger than his cross. Your deeds were not bigger than his sacrifice. He can redeem it. Whatever it was, if you have a child in the past that you want to reconnect with, or you have something that was a mistake that always calls to you and said, remember what you did, lay it down today. Forgive yourself. Because Jesus' blood is greater than your mistakes. And let him turn it all over. Let him turn it all over. Let him redeem the time.
Praise my soul. Find strength in.
Come on, somebody, find a place to pray. I don't care where you are. If you need to go, God bless you. But right now, We need a move of God.
Do not forget.
We need help in this house.
His great faithfulness.
We need help in this house. We need help from His Spirit.
He's take courage, my
Lord, help
heart.
Us, Jesus.
Stay steadfast, my
Lord,
soul.
Lord, help us, Jesus.
In the waiting.
Help us to surrender our time to you, God. Let us
hold
get in prayers our joy,
your,
maybe for
you.
Let us spend time with you so we're courageous.
He's never failing. He's never failing. You
come on, lift your hands all over the room. And
the
let the Holy Ghost just minister to you right
who
now.
Calls
let the Holy Ghost minister to you.
By name. We'll surely keep your promise to me. I will rise in your victory.
Come on, sing along. Come on, speak to yourself. Take courage, my heart.
He's in the waiting.
He's in the waiting. Come on, give him time right now. Give him time right now. Give him some time. Say, God, I trust you. You're working now. I wanted to see it quicker than now. But I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be upset with you, God. I'm going to let you do your work. On your time. On your time. In your perfect will.
Hold on to your hope. As your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. Who holds the stars? Never fail.